The following is a presentation of Morning Drive Media.
Broadcasting from beautiful Burbank, California, this is the Knapsack Files, and I'm Ken Knapsack for another edition of the interview. That is right. I have got a couple of guests. One is a returning Knapsack Files veteran, and one is a Vestal Virgin, the first time in the Knapsack Files studios. But he is a broadcast and director, editor, production veteran as well. So we're going to be in good hands, and they have a new show out, a podcast out that I want you guys to know about. So that's what we're doing. We're gathering around. We're talking. First, returning to the show is Scott Tommaso.
Hello. Wait, that was a,
that's good.
That started off as a good. It wasn't very good. Let's do that again.
Do it again. Scott Tommaso.
Hey, what's up?
Oh, there you go.
I am so happy to be here again.
Yeah,
it's been a while.
It's been a while. You were first iteration, like first phase of Knapsack Files.
I was.
You might even had the crappy mics that sounded like I was underwater that I bought for like $20.
I thought that was by design. That was just finances.
Yeah, it was the Knapsack Files underwater show.
All right.
Now I got these beautiful mics from Rode, who provided the broadcaster mics here, so shout out to them as well.
I will say this. Yeah. You have an exquisite layout here.
They make me sound so sexy.
I'm not kidding. But it was because, you know, last time we did it, it was quite different.
It was very different.
This is like real deal Holyfield stuff here.
I love it. Yeah, I started with some gear from Radio Shack. Like, we're talking $20 stuff. And kids, that's the lesson. Just get equipment and start.
Actually, kids out there are going, what the hell is Radio
what
Shack?
What is Radio Shack? That's
Radio
a good thing.
Shack.
Just like you and me playing with our Nintendo 64s.
Oh, yeah.
Joining us, like I said, the Vestal Virgin to this thing here is Sam Labrati.
What? Am I?
Hi, Ken. Thank you. And it's wonderful being on your show.
That's perfect. Now, I've worked with you both before on a great little fun web series called Those Guys. Oh, that's just the Burbank Airport.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Yep. Plane might be landing on us. We don't know. Chandler, I'm here at the running biking path.
That can't wait a minute. Good.
That actually might be water.
That sounds more like a toilet flushing.
Yeah, my neighbors wait to do their dishes right when I start recording. It's
sweet.
Happened a few times.
Sweet.
And I just have to roll through it. It's part of the... Remember the Knapsack Files... Right, Knapsack Files listeners will remember the stomping Russian neighbor I had above me at the last studio. This is the problem of broadcasting in an apartment complex. He looked like a villain from Witness. It was great. But I work with you guys on this web series, Those Guys.
Those Guys.
Still up on YouTube. You guys still out there up. Should check it out. It's very funny. I played the character of Tucker, who was that guy, and the show transitioned into Those Guys. And that was a lot of fun.
It was fun.
That was years ago.
Yeah.
But I will tell you this. This is going to be an exclusive
here on the
Knapsack Files.
I love it. I hope my neighbors are listening.
There is the unreleased episode.
Mm. That's right. We have an unreleased episode.
The lost episode.
Which one is
this? That will be released within the next 30 days.
30 days from now. So we are
I kid you not.
Wait. That's assuming. Assuming I can find the files.
I actually have the files.
No.
I have been editing it.
Shut up.
So Those Guys was a show based around this guy, Tucker, that I played that's kind of a... How would you describe it? Because he's a real-life character, right?
Scott? Yeah, who's
there? He is. He's based off a real-life... you can say character. He is a character in real life.
One of those guys.
He really is one of those guys.
Right.
And I will say through the audition process... Well, there really wasn't one. Because there really was just one person who could play this guy, and that's Ken Knapsack. He's based on a real guy, and he really does do all these crazy things. So a lot of the things you see on the show are exactly what
based on reality.
This guy, that's
a lot of funny stuff. Me waking up, almost undressed, almost naked in a bathtub. Lou Santini, comedian Lou Santini, co-starred in it. We had a lot of good people in it, and so I'm excited about a lost episode.
Yeah.
Any hint of what it might be, if I remember correctly,
let's just say there's going to be a little bit of
romance.
Yes, that's the way to say it.
Ooh. All right.
Ooh. Yes, in the way that Tucker, in only the way that Tucker can have romance.
Right. This is a kind of character that.
Speaking of romance, you know, my favorite episode was the one where you had your dog swallowed the wallet.
Yes.
And you had to dig through the dog poop.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
That was the class level entertainment that we had going on.
That was high class.
That was a day I had to have a wallet covered in some sort of pudding mixture. And spent a lot of takes digging through it.
And it is a true story.
And it's a true story.
It's a true story.
As my wife calls that episode, high concept.
It's very high concept. Yeah. For the dog, especially.
Whatever that means, I don't know.
From there, you guys transitioned. How long have you guys worked together? You guys have known each other. You're friends, obviously, but you worked together through a lot of different projects, right?
Since 2006.
I would say, 2006. Ooh. That sounds about right.
When we worked at the former TV Guide Network.
That's right. Yeah. Former / Lionsgate / CBS /
Pop TV.
A lot of things.
Right now it's called Pop TV, but who knows what next week will be.
Yeah, it could be something else.
Thus is the life of high cable channels.
That's right.
What did you do there, Sam?
Well, I was an editor.
So that's your primary trade, right?
For now.
It's the moneymaker.
Yeah, it's the moneymaker.
But you know what?
We work together kind of the same way we've worked together all the way through our relationship, and that is he comes up with stuff and I make it work.
That's right.
That's how it's supposed to be. So how would you describe yourself, Scott, your skill set? Producer?
Well, producer first. That is by trade. Mm-hmm. But I would consider myself, right, that's in there somewhere probably.
No. I mean, you're a fan of beer.
I am a fan of beer. There's no question.
And British food.
Anything British,
high concept gourmet.
That's right. Hey, that's the best stuff, man.
Yeah. My neighbors are done washing. That's great.
All right.
Congratulations on the shower, neighbors.
Can we start recording then?
Yeah. Press.
Record. And now.
Yeah. And we're on.
Producer, writer, director, you name it. I've done it.
You've done it all. You worked on a lot of stuff. And then you worked on a great podcast along with Sema, your producer there.
That's right.
The 10 Reasons Why show, right?
Yeah, that was a good run.
Yeah, and then you did video with that as well. You were and you guys were like the first who were like, come to our podcast, which now has video. And I was like, what? You know?
Yeah, we actually,
visionary, Scott.
This isn't going to be like, Nabzik files, like numbers. But, we did cross a plateau.
Recently, yes. Yeah. Recently, we crossed.
We got our 10,000 subscribers.
10,000 followers.
Hey.
We've so duped 10,000 people.
That's all you need, man. You need one for an empire.
But I will say this. That is a good, it's a moneymaker. It still does make us money. And which is great. I mean, it's nice to have that come in every once in a while.
Yeah.
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 And we get to do the stuff that we will probably talk about.
We're going to transition to it very shortly.
That kind of thing allows us to do other things. Yeah. So it's turned out pretty well.
You guys are working on a new show called Everybody Has a Story. This is a podcast right now. I could see it going even farther. I could see it being almost a game show if you want it to be.
Oh, my gosh.
It has that kind of old kind of game show feel.
It does, especially when I add the game show music from the 70s.
And this can be found on Trendpunk, which, Sam, I would definitely want to talk to you there. You got something good going there, but tell me what this show is, because we're gonna do a round. And I get folks listening, it's not a game show, it's a podcast, but we're gonna do a little quote round of it here today too.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, Ken.
Yes.
Actually, normally I'm the one that you can't shut up, but I'm gonna let Scott describe it because he actually came up with the concept.
Oh,
I did.
Yes, you did.
Oh, yeah.
Don't try to deny it.
All right. Well, basically what it is, it's Sam and I come up with three different stories.
Each.
So it's six total during this show. They're very interesting, bizarre, strange, like stranger than fiction type stories. Right. So these are short stories.
Coincidences.
So this won't take up a lot of your time. This is really...
I'm going to need it to take up 40 minutes of my time.
It's 30 minutes or less, I think, is really what it's boiled.
We average
down
around
to
25 to 22 minutes. Yeah.
So first half of our show, Sam will read his three stories or I'll read my three stories. And one of those stories is false. So it's up to the audience to figure out, and also whoever is not reading the stories,
right,
to figure out which one is false. And... Sam doesn't have a great record right now, but he's in a little slump. But they are strange and they're interesting stories.
Yeah.
And I think I'm more bewildered by the idea that some of these stories that you think cannot be true
are true.
I
like it because it works on a lot of levels with story podcasting is interesting and you're not doing necessarily like, say, Serial, where you're telling narrative every week. However,
right.
it becomes a slice of life. It becomes a little NPR. You're listening to you guys, because I was listening to episodes of work and I just put it on and I just found myself getting lost in the stories. And I think maybe, Sam, that's why you're not picking the right stories. I just get so lost in them that when it comes time to pick, I'm like, I don't know. They all seem so good.
They do seem good.
Why, Sam, why is your picker off?
Yeah,
my picker has been off for a while now because actually – I blame it on Scott's great ability as a storyteller, because I get so into this mode where I'm believing what he's telling me that I can't really judge which one's real.
Right.
And I think my track record is like...
You're probably 50-50 at this point.
Oh, I doubt it. More like 30-70.
And what are you, Scott?
70-30, maybe?
Yeah, okay. You
wish. I've been guessing pretty well.
Kind of.
Fair.
Sort of.
If you want.
But here's the thing. So once you start listening, like we've been doing this for a while now.
Yeah, a few months.
I don't know how many, like just dozens and dozens of stories, if not 100 already.
Right.
That you hear the strangest things and you're just like, okay, well, I've heard something stranger than the one you just told me that was true. So this has got to be true.
Right.
So it starts messing with your head a little bit.
Right. By the time you get to the third story, you're like, wait a minute. The one before was really outrageous. So that must have been the false one. But then you hear another one that's totally outrageous.
You pick up a little like the man thought his dog talked to him. That can't be real. And the next one, it's his cat. You're like, well, which one is it?
One of those is false.
One of those animals
one
spoke.
Help us figure it out. And you can send us your story.
Oh, yeah?
If you have a true story, or if you have a really good made-up one,
right?
You send it to us, we'll read it, and if we pick your story, or even record you
reading it. Or do your audio.
We'll just air the audio. Well, if you want to send us an audio file, we'll air it, and the person whose story we pick will get some of our swag.
And this, so I'm right now on the website, trendpunk.com, it sounds, guys. Trendy and punk together at last. Trendpunk.com, and you can submit your story here. Now, Scott, you said earlier you find stories, or you grab them, or you collate. How do you... Sources, just
hours of research.
Old Reader's Digests, old Penthouse Forum letters.
All right, did you tell him?
We find them wherever we can find them.
Yes.
No, you know, there's
research. If I knew the sources, would that be, that would help
you
pick?
You would, I will tell you this.
Mm-hmm. I goggle them myself.
I can't. I goggle them? I can't say where Sam gets them, but I do a lot of research on these. Yeah, so for me, it's not just.
And I don't?
Just,
yeah.
No, I know you do. But you have to. You do have to check it to make sure that it's a true story or not. And then, of course, we make up the false ones.
We write them ourselves.
We write them ourselves.
So we get a little writing in there.
Yeah.
This checks a lot of boxes in your skill sets here.
It does. Yeah. And so this is not an easy show.
Right.
It's not easy. I mean, there's a lot of research that's involved, and then you got to come up with a story. When we usually shoot like two or three of these podcasts, you know, every time we meet up. So you're talking tons of shows and tons of
and you release
stories
once a week?
About once a week, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see, I love this concept. Like I said, I've been listening, but also I'm overwhelmed by it. You can tell my style of podcasting. I invite you over.
What style?
You bring your own beer. And then Sam goes, what's the show? And I go, just we'll figure it out. Just when the mics go on, just follow my lead. We'll figure it out. No research needed.
I'm starting to think your way is better than our way.
It's a show about nothing.
It is a show about nothing. Knapsack Files is about life, the universe, and everything.
I think it's about everything.
42. Yeah.
42.
That's right.
42. My respect for Douglas Adams runs deep.
Mine too. He was a great man.
Absolutely.
But here's the other thing, and you said you've been listening to the episodes. So because Sam is who he is with the he's a great editor, he's a great sound guy. There's a lot of stuff that he puts in. There is a lot of music. We put in sound effects. So it really does kind of capture your senses when you're listening to this.
I was listening to the episode titled Murder, She Wrote, I believe is the one today.
Yeah.
So how long, what's the turnaround of these episodes, Sam?
Well, it depends.
Depends on how many beers he's had.
Yes.
Which correlates with how many edits he has to make.
Mm. Right. Like sometimes we just can't get through an episode. Like we'll record for an hour for a 20-minute episode.
What do you mean can't get through?
And sometimes they just come right out.
You fall asleep, you take a nap. Like what are you doing?
No, and then I chop it up and I pull it together and make it look like we know what we're doing.
Love it.
Yeah.
And then it's just smooth. We put a little nice music for each story. It has its own background music and sound effects layers.
I'm telling you, we should just go live to tape, man.
I don't know. Nah. I mean, it's tough. You end up sounding like me. You end up with your neighbors running the shower.
Well, that's true.
You end up, you know, with phone. My mom texted me. You know, I Sam's way may have some.
Now, actually, the other day,
validity.
The other day, we had to cut the recording short because my wife showed up.
Yeah,
I mean, the garage door went open
because your studio is very impressive. When I was there before, it's got it. If you didn't know it was in a garage in a nice house in the valley, you would think it was an actual functioning studio.
Well, that's because I have that background.
Yeah, and when I say it's like it is screen. A functioning studio, but then occasionally the garage door opens and your wife pulls in.
I say, "Cheese it, the wife." All right, goodbye. We'll see you guys next time.
and Scott runs out. I wasn't supposed to be here.
You did tell her, Sam.
And this is found on TrendPunk. And before, I do want to hear some stories here. But Sam, tell me a little about what this is, because this is where our industry is now, getting this digital content out here, finding the stuff. You guys work in traditional TV. That has still it has the money and it has the stability, though our jobs are always in flux, it would seem.
Yeah.
But it's still the standard, but digital is the future. We know that. And you've started something with TrendPunk. What is this?
TrendPunk is a broadcasting network for podcasts, and we're going to expand to streaming so that it's like a radio channel that's just the show streaming.
That's how you need to do it.
Yeah. Right now, it's, you know, subscriber-based, so you go to iTunes or Stitcher or any one of your favorite podcasting platforms, subscribe. And then every week you'll get a new episode. Mm. And that's where we're at now. We have two shows on trendpunk.com.
Yeah.
And one's hosted by a couple of guys who were starting their own meadery.
Meadery. As in like steak?
Mead. No. Like mead. Like mead. The drink.
Mead. Like,
you know, honey wine?
Like if I was in Game of Thrones, I'd have a nice thing of mead and pork. Okay.
And pork. And then you pork somebody.
Right? Yeah.
Whoa, wait.
Well, that is Game of Thrones. You're right. So meadery.
Yes. And they visit breweries all over Southern California, which is the world mecca for microbrewing.
Right.
And all these specialty breweries and wineries and meaderies and all kinds of places where they make ales and things.
Right.
And the hosts, Raph and Chris, are both... I don't want to use the word alcoholic. That's a little strong.
Stringent.
they love their mead. Yeah. I mean, you're making it, right?
I find it amazing that they actually get through a show to the end and remember to tell people. The show's called Designated Drinker.
Right.
Okay. And at the end of the show, they say, "We're the designated drinkers. If you're the designated drinker, make sure you have a designated driver."
Sure.
I can't believe they get that far to be able to say that as drunk as they get.
They clearly have designated drivers.
We would hope. We encourage responsible drinking.
Because every episode, they go to a new brewery and they sample the wares.
Yeah.
And sometimes they've sampled too much.
Yeah.
If it's that good.
Hilarity ensues.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
No, it is a good, I don't know if you've listened to it. It is actually a very good show. It's very informative. They really know their beers, especially their meads. But Chris is in particular, because I know Chris. Mm-hmm. He's been doing this for a long time. So if you're looking for like really good information,
yeah,
and you want to find something new in the Southern California area,
you
in particular,
find a good meadery.
And you should go to Chris's
meadery.
I can't remember the name of his meadery that he's doing, but
well, they're not actually open yet.
Not yet.
But they're working on it, and I've seen some of the gear they have. I sold them a refrigerator when I was moving in with my wife, because she had her own, and hers was nicer.
You're building meaderies with your leftover equipment.
And you know what he did? He put beer taps in the door. He drilled holes, put beer taps in the door.
Love it.
Wait, that's not what you're supposed to do?
It's amazing.
That's beautiful. I think that's.
That man is dedicated to his craft.
Here's what I was going to... We didn't mention this earlier. We were about to, but we didn't do it. But if you do want to send in your stories for Everybody Has a Story,
right?
Make sure you send it to stories@trendpunk.com. And so you can send in your audio file that way, or send in your typed out story.
Or if you want, you can go to the website and there is a form you can fill out.
Yeah.
And do it that way. Either way, we'll get in touch with you. We'll get your story. and you'll get the swag if
you'll
we pick
you. Swag. I love the swag thing. And I love this thing you're saying here. I am no tech wizard. I am no prognosticator. I'm not like Professor Scott Galloway in L2 predicting, you know, trillion-dollar companies and stuff like that. But I still think podcasting is huge. Obviously, we know it's huge. I'm an old radio guy, as you know. You unlock that streaming and how to stream live podcasts and get them into your car. If I can press on my screen, and I know Stitcher was working on this a while ago, mm-hmm. but I have a 2004 Camry, so I don't know what's in cars now. If you get a podcast by the press of a button in a car, you've launched it into a new stratosphere. Yeah. So live streaming of shows, and there are I know people will probably tweet me. There's some, you know, I was, you know, over at Toad Hop where they were trying this stuff too. But if you can unlock it on a smaller level in a garage in your house, then you are on to the next level.
Well, we're heading there. And eventually we will have a real studio.
I love it.
As soon as we get some sponsors.
And that's the key. And that's what I'm talking about, where TV, old media has that money still because the old guys running the ads haven't figured out.
They've noticed. They've noticed. They're noticing, and they're coming to calling.
I love that. So trendpunk.com, and I'm sure you'll expand your repertoire of shows.
Yes.
But you got two solid.
We have several planned or in the planning stages. So first, we started with Designated Drinker, and everybody has a story.
Right.
But we're going to have all kinds of really cool shows that we've been grooming, getting ready.
I think you're being a little modest, Sam.
Oh, please.
Which is very rare.
I mean, he rolls in here with his Mercedes Benz,
right?
And his leather jacket.
He's being modest because, and this is my, I mean, I'm on the show too, but Everybody Has
you
a
are?
Story has actually taken off pretty well.
Yeah.
So I'm actually, you got to be, you know, just really.
Oh, shucks.
Grasp it, man.
Yeah.
Go with it.
Own it, man.
Speaking of taking off, the statistic that is boggling my mind, I don't know what it is, but I think I have a clue. 40% of our listeners are in Japan.
Really?
I can't believe
it.
I don't understand
amazing.
It. But I was talking to my son about it, who does our social media stuff for us. And it came to us that maybe it's because Japanese people love the English language.
Yeah.
And they like listening to it as a way to get used to hearing it and speaking it.
Yep.
And listening to podcasts and listening to something like us where we're telling stories.
But why would anybody try to learn English from you?
From me? Well, you know, English is my third language.
They not know?
They got to learn how to do
true.
It wrong first
that's
and then build from there.
That's a good point.
That's interesting.
Point.
And they're so, you know, I get it. You go over there. My writing partner, Matt, went over there as a 6'5" white guy. And it was like, you know, who are you? Everyone wanted to sit down and figure out who he is. So, they're obsessed with a little bit of our culture just as we are theirs. It's
not
a cultural exchange.
The women.
Yeah, so there you go. Well, your wife might come to the garage now, Sam. Be careful.
Hey,
I'm assuming your demographic is a lot of a lot of young females.
Giggity. Nope, it's not.
Oh,
yeah, no. It's well
come
versed
on now.
It's well versed, and you know, I get my numbers, and there's a lot of country. UK, big in the UK. I'm not big in the UK,
so
but my numbers are bigger. And
I know, 20 stone.
Yeah, 20 stone for me, and rising. And then I would say also I've got the Australia a lot too. I think it's because early on I had Maude Garrett and Alicia Milone on as guests, and I think I picked up an Australian audience there.
Sweet.
Those numbers are fascinating, but what's also fascinating is the stories you tell. Do you want to do a story here?
Do a story, Sam.
I actually picked one in case I would be asked.
Yeah.
so we got to guess if this is true or false.
So this.
All right. This is a true.
No.
Wait. I mean, no. That's not. I didn't mean to say true. Mm-hmm. It's not true. It's not false.
Stricken,
we don't know yet.
Stricken from the record.
What I meant to say, this is a story that's coming up on episode number 10.
So it's a preview.
It's a preview.
I love it.
And I call this He Who Dealt It. You can.
We can figure
surmise
it out. Okay.
What it is. Basically, the story is about an unhealthy diet and a closed room with no ventilation are being blamed for the death of a man who was killed by his own gases.
All right. I'm so far I'm believing it's possible.
That's right, folks. This guy farted himself to death. There were.
Is that the end of the story? Is that the end of the story?
All right. There were no marks on the body, and paramedics couldn't figure out okay. what happened, although they themselves got sick from the fumes in the room.
All right.
And there were the autopsy showed that he had been eating a lot of, true story, beans. Okay. Well, maybe it's a
true story. Why do you keep saying true story?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not in my element. I'm not in my garage.
I'm not in my element.
You want me to edit some sound effects under you?
Yeah. Could you do something there? That's better. Oof. Open a window. Well, all right. So there it is. Okay. Guy killed by his own farts.
So the question is, did a guy really fart himself to death?
That's right.
That's so really
you guys
the
are going to have
story.
To guess. True or false?
I mean, here's the thing. Even though you've said the word true a couple times, I don't necessarily take that as anything because
no, it was a
slip up.
No, faux pas.
I'm analyzing this. I definitely think I've been in some situations where
yeah.
I could see this where some stuff is kind of hit that room and it's so thick that it comes out with like you know a point of view and an agenda. I understand, but to do it. This is like when you hear the stories. I'm showing my math here, and I want to hear your math.
Yeah, that's right.
This is like those stories we hear when people played video games for 36 hours straight and die or something
right,
like that.
Right.
I have trouble believing that, but it happens too many times.
It happens.
To deny it. You know, your body shuts down. Though then I play Ages of Empire 2 for 8 hours on my computer.
I love that game.
Ages of Empire is great. And I remember one time I had an 8-hour session of playing it. And then a friend came over, and he was concerned for my health. So I get it now.
Let me ask you something. I play that game. How do you get 8 hours out of one session? Is it a nonstop game, or are you talking about several games?
Couple games.
Oh, okay.
Because I had a problem in Ages of Empire, which for those who never played it, it's a medieval real-time strategy game where you build up your armies and your villages and your castles and your trebuchets and your archers and your long archers, and you go fight. And you fight other different cultural war. Like there's a
you
Japanese
can choose.
Team. Yeah, you can choose. There's Scottish, Irish, British, all that kind of stuff.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's a great game. And I had a habit of getting bored. So I would cultivate all the hay or whatever you need first to build up your armies. And your
yes.
And then I just would launch as much as I could, 20 trebuchets, 20 longbowmen, and I would just attack and usually die.
Been there.
Yeah, the slow
been
and
there.
Steady to, it always works on that game.
Yeah, then you have
build, and then just throw everything.
Yeah, and then you have because I would play online with some friends in the early days. I remember Command and Conquer early
oh,
on.
Oh, I love that show.
Yeah, mid 90s when I was in radio, we used to play on Friday nights. And I had a couple friends who were so good at just like little guerrilla warfare attacks, a little sneak, boom, 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 tick, yeah. And then they pick me apart slowly. Yeah. So I get it.
I'm on a jag right now with Company of Heroes 1.
Yeah, that's good.
That's, you know, World War II. For some reason, I have a real connection with that period of time. And from when I was a little kid, I know everything about the military, the equipment, the planes. It's amazing. Yeah. I don't know why. I must have been in World War II in another life.
To button that, you know, they are coming out with another Age of Empires. It's coming out soon.
Really?
On what system?
On PC.
Oh, really?
So they still got your PC. It's coming out soon.
You can see over there, I got a 10-year-old Dell. Actually, it's a 12-year-old Dell under that Nintendo 64.
You know, I was going to say, I looked over and I saw the Nintendo 64.
The Nintendo 64. We're going to talk about that in a second, but I want to get back to the story.
Yeah, go ahead.
Work. I know, it was a great sidetrack. I love that here.
I'm impressed with that, but what about that dildo in the box over
stop
there?
Stop it.
That is a Men in Black neuralizer.
Oh.
But I do admit, when you take the prop out of Will Smith's hands and put it on display like I have here, it looks a little inappropriate.
I'm just saying. Just saying. Just saying.
I think the story is true, but I think there's going to be some sort of twist into what he was eating.
I think that story is also true.
Did I tell you, did I mention what the autopsy showed?
You said he had some funny things that he ate. Right.
Yeah, beans.
Beans.
Literally.
It. So it's just beans.
So it's the old story.
Wow.
But is it true?
Beans, they're good for your heart.
Is it true?
Yes, it is true.
Yes.
True story. Guy died from inhaling his own fumes, methane gas, actually.
Right.
Like that's just... So like, how does that happen?
So the old crack a window phrase actually is a helpful
yeah, you better do it.
Life safety tip.
Right.
Well, I'm glad they're thinning out the herd that way.
Well, yeah, if you're able to pull this off yourself, no disrespect to his family, but maybe we didn't need him anyway.
No.
That deserves like a golf clap, I think, at the end, right? Just like a...
Those poor paramedics, how did they...
They got sick.
They literally got sick. Yeah.
They had to call in more paramedics.
How bad. Is that? I almost want to experience that.
No.
I almost want to be a first responder on that call But no going in and maybe go in and, I don't know.
You got to have those masks on, right?
Yeah.
So that's why, that's why I call that one He Who Dealt It. Although on the on the back end of this, I'm thinking maybe I should have called it Gaseous Clay.
You know what? I can't wait to actually listen to the music ambiance and the sound effects on
well,
this
Well, yeah, you know what? It was a good preview, and when the episode comes out, the listeners and Knapsack Files who transition over and listen to your show as well are going to get the full version.
Monty, the full Monty.
I wonder, maybe even fear, what sound effects you're going to put into it, Sam.
Let me just say that over more than 20 years of doing sound effects for feature films and television,
right,
the entire library will be brought into effect.
Love it. I love it. You've been working this town that long, huh? How's it changed? How's it changed? Let's talk your life, Sam.
It's I'm gonna cry.
It's getting younger.
You've been working in this industry. That's a good thing. No matter editor being your trade, what we're doing now didn't exist back then. So you couldn't imagine.
No, I couldn't imagine. And I still can't.
Right. And then you guys both. I mean, Scott, you were one of the first to be like, "Hey, let's pull you in on this web series thing." Which I was like, what, a TV show on the web? Okay. and it wasn't too long ago. We're talking, what, 2009, 10?
Yeah, it was like 2010, I would say. Somewhere around there.
Yeah. So you guys have attempted and have adjusted pretty good to a changing industry. That's a credit, Sam.
Well, it's survival.
That's really, that's a good way to put it. Because if you don't change and if you don't adapt and add to your repertoire, you're going to get left behind.
It all started back when I was a musician and before all these home studios started coming out in the late 80s, early 90s, you had to go to a studio and pay lots of money to record your music or whatever you were doing. And then when that started flooding the market, the business changed, the look of the business. People were making feature films at home on their laptops.
Yeah.
That just blew the whole production and post-production world out of the water.
Yeah, absolutely. And as an editor, you're like, can I edit your movie? No, I got it. There's an app for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, good. They don't realize that besides the app, you actually have to know what you're doing and have years of experience dealing in a pressure cooker of sitting next to James Cameron, as I did once.
Yeah?
Yes. And
can you say the movie?
The Abyss.
You were.
I didn't edit on it. Yeah. I was doing the color correction and transfer of the film.
So
a lot of blue. Yes, it is a lot of blue. And he was always like, "Turn up the blue! Turn up the blue! It's up all the way, bitch!" You know. But the interesting about James Cameron is that movie back then came out in two versions. It came out in letterbox, which is the widescreen, and they called the pan and scan version, which is the 4x3 for what TVs were before flat screens came out. He directed the pan and scan version shot by shot, redirected it for pan and scan.
Really?
So because when you're doing pan and scan.
While he made the movie or in the editing
bay? No, in the Telecine coloring bay. When you're doing the 4x3 version, you're throwing away a third of the information, a third of the picture.
Right.
Yeah. Okay? And he didn't want some guy at a control just willy-nilly choosing what shot to have. He actually directed each shot, and so I had to move the picture to center on what he wanted of that 16x9.
That's fascinating. See, we're getting some good. Everybody has a story, Scott.
Right?
And your story, Sam, is being locked in a room with James Cameron, which not a lot of people survive.
No, I was going to say
he was great with me.
Yeah.
In fact, aside there.
I love it.
So we're working. He was working on preparing to do the next movie, which I think
T2?
Judgment Day.
Yeah.
Okay, he was working on Judgment Day. I didn't know what Judgment Day was.
Right.
So there I am, I'm working in the bay, and he's working at night because they're in pre-production during the day. So he's coming in and working from 11 o'clock till 8 in the morning.
This is also why they got had like 4 or 5 marriages, but yeah.
Yeah, well, it didn't do great for mine.
Yeah.
But I'm sitting there working. He goes out to have a cigarette at the time.
Yeah.
And the phone rings in the bay. And I answer it, and he goes, "Is Jimmy there?" I'm like, "You mean Mr. Cameron?" Yeah, Jimmy. Hold on, I'll get him. Who do I say is calling? Tell him Ani called. Really? So I'm like, holy Shazam, it's Arnold Schwarzenegger on the phone. So I run out and I get Cameron, and he comes in and he talks, and they're like, yeah, hey, Arnie. And he called each other Arnie and Jimmy.
Arnie and Jimmy.
And it was great. I was like, oh my God.
I love it. I love it.
That was fun.
How intense was he creatively? He says he's nice to you.
He was nice to me.
Yeah, good rapport. But he's one of those intense genius types.
Well, a lot of people don't like working for him because he's really intense.
Right.
He may be different in the edit bay than he is out on the lot.
Sure.
Or, you know, on location. Yeah. So I can't answer that except to say that when he's working in the edit bay, he was cordial. He listened to suggestions. He was open. Mm. And we ended up with a really great... If you ever want to watch that movie in 4x3, I have a VHS of it.
Go get a VHS copy.
Think Sam Labrati.
Yeah. See, that's fascinating.
It was cool.
Everybody has a story. I don't think that one's real, Scott.
I'm going to go with false.
The fart story, true. This one, fake.
Working false. With James Cameron, not true.
Oh, that's fascinating. That's great stuff. And see,
one
I
of the
it.
Few highlights of my career.
Oh.
That and being startled by William Shatner, my idol.
Who hasn't been startled by Shatner?
No, right? I mean in person.
In person? All what right. did he do?
All right, you want to hear this story?
I do.
I'll make it really quick.
No, this is great. This is what you asked me before what the Knapsack Files is. This is it.
Okay. All right, so I used to manage a small post house in Studio City, which is near Burbank.
Very, my old stomping ground.
Yeah, and nobody was there. It was me. I was working in the office. I was paying bills, whatever. And then every time the front door would open, it had one of those alarm things would say, front door open, you know, and then you'd know that somebody was coming in. So I hear it. I go, oh, it must be one of the engineers or somebody coming in. We have nothing scheduled today. Mm-hmm. So I go back. I'm working on the computer. I'm typing along, you know. And then I hear this knock on the door, and a head pops around the door. I turn my head, and it's William Shatner. He goes, am I bothering you? And I went, this is true. You. This is true. I turn around. I'm in a chair. I'm seated. And I look up, and I go, William Shatner, what are you doing here? And I fell back. Onto the floor, out of my chair.
Oh, God. Don't fall back.
That's right. He goes, oh, I don't mean to upset you. I go, no, Mr. Shatner. He goes, call me Bill. So, I'm like a huge fan. I've been a fan of yours since I was a little kid. And this is amazing. What can I do for you?
Welcome to my shop.
He goes, I need to record a quick PSA. If you have 20 minutes, I'll engineer it myself.
Yeah.
So he goes, yeah, let me just get my assistant out of the car. And this incredibly hot babe in a miniskirt comes in with the legs that just wouldn't stop.
Sure.
You know, and it was wonderful. He was really cordial, really funny.
So he just...
I kept calling him Mr. Shatner, and he kept going, please, call me Bill.
So Shatner's driving around Studio City looking for random recording studios?
He lives there. And he must have known about us or seen one of our ads.
Seen it or something like that.
Because he just popped in on his own. So we went in and we recorded this thing and it was great.
I almost doubt it, but I think it's a true story.
True story or not? What do you say? True or not?
I think that's true
because I could see you totally doing that.
Yeah.
That's me. I did fall over.
I will say this. We did an interview with Bill Shatner, like a 1 hour special.
Or Will, as you like to call him.
I call him Will.
Because he's a close personal friend.
He told me, call him Jim.
Jimmy.
So we were doing an interview, and you remember Madison Michelle?
Yes, of course.
Beautiful. Ooh. Madison Michelle.
Yeah, why do I know that name?
She used to be a host. She was quite prevalent back in the day.
Yeah, I remember that now.
But
she's now a nurse.
That's correct. But she did a sit down with Bill. We were producing it, and so she's like, they do the little nice little cordial openings, like, how are you? Nice to meet you. Nice to see you. And then she goes, well, let's talk about your body of work. And he's like, well... Let's talk about my body. she's like, oh, Bill. He just responds. He goes, you know, back in the day when people would say, you know, let's talk about your body of work. And I'd say, yeah, let's talk about it. They'd go, oh, Bill. Not, oh, Bill. She goes, that's how old I've gotten in this business. It's no fun for me anymore. I was like, Bill, you still got it, dude. You still got it.
TJ Hooker to the end of time.
He was probably 70? I think he was 75 at the time.
Right.
So that was about 10 years
ago.
When
we talked to him. Yeah, I was like,
he's like 86 now.
He's still going strong.
He's got a mind like
piss and vinegar.
He's still
a steel trap. The guy's got a mind like you wouldn't believe. Well, I saw him live.
What, doing songs?
Do a one-man show. Yeah. No, he didn't sing, thank God. No.
But Lucy in the Sky with diamonds.
Yeah.
Yeah, that.
All right, Scott, you got any stories? Dance, monkey, dance.
No.
Nope. No. Well, we were talking about the Nintendo 64. I want to talk about that because you're doing stuff on YouTube with the Nintendo 64.
Yeah, let's talk about the Layman's Video Gamer.
I love that.
Another amazing podcast.
It's not just Nintendo 64. However, I was telling you before we started here is that that's quickly become one of my favorite consoles of all time.
Which you didn't own back in the day.
I did not own it back in the day. I was a Sega guy. I did have the Nintendo and the Super Nintendo, but I stopped after those. But so I've got a YouTube channel at the moment that's called The Layman Video Gamer.
Got it.
And basically I'm not exaggerating. Right. I literally get a package or two a day.
Wow.
Video games.
Right.
My wife hates me.
Sure.
Because of all the money I spend on it.
Doesn't seem like it.
Yeah. And you would think, you know, these are old games. They'd cost, you know, a little fraction $5, $3, $4, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I just bought a game the other day that was $600.
So
great.
You've sold your first child. You don't even have your child yet, but you're already selling them.
It is insane what the prices
are. What game was that?
This was for the really bad defunct Sega 32X. Do you remember the Sega 32X?
Yeah, yeah.
Why would anybody want to buy a game like that for $600?
It's horrible. It's a Spider-Man game. And the reason it costs so much is because, A, it's really bad.
Yeah.
And B, because they didn't make a lot of them. And if you can get it in really good shape and complete, meaning all the pamphlets are still in there, and
did you get it that way?
Good shape, and I did.
Yeah,
I did. It's actually in a nice little case, nice porcelain case.
Sweet.
Wow.
But it's an expensive one, and I could probably sell that for about $1,000.
Let me ask you a question.
Okay, so there's an upside. There's a profit there, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What platform does that one play on?
Just
Sega 32X.
Oh, so you have that platform, too.
I've
been to your house, and you've got, like, every platform imaginable.
Well, not every one of them, but I have 18 consoles at
Jiminy
the moment.
Jiminy Cricket! 18 classic and present-day consoles.
That's correct.
I mean, you were the first person I knew to have a PlayStation 4. I was there roughly a day or so after you got it, I thought, right?
You can go to 10 Reasons Why show. We talked about it earlier, and I have a video of me standing in line.
Yes.
Waiting for the PlayStation 4.
I've seen it.
And unboxing it and playing it. That was kind of like the start of it all, really.
Love that.
I have from the Atari up to PS4.
And this is all featured on your channel. You play them, you unbox them, you play them.
Yeah, so my videos are basically one game. I'll do one unboxing a day, and then I'll play it, review it, and then let you guys know what it costs, why you should get it, or why you shouldn't get it. And if you're a collector, it's an awesome show. Even if you're not a collector and you just love games, go check it out.
I'm bringing it up here now. What is it called? What is it called again?
The Layman Video Gamer.
Oh, I see.
And you can also...
Yep, I got it there. Sorry.
Yeah.
I typed something else in. I got lay. Don't type in lay wrong on the internet. You'll get something up. Yeah. Got it. Man, the Nintendo 64 is an all-timer to me, as it is for a lot of people. I was raised on the Commodore 64, so my parents...
Same here.
Right? You have one, C prompt, load prompt, all that HTML code you had to type back in the day.
Gosh.
It was actually basic, whatever it was.
You were a little techie. You had a little bit more money than me. I had the Commodore VIC 20.
VIC 20. Well, we are lower middle class lifestyles. That's afford us the luxury of a Commodore.
Atari 2600 was my first one.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
See, we didn't have that, but my dad...
He's a computer guy, though.
Yeah, my dad and late uncle at the time, like they both got in the 64, and they would just trade games. And my uncle at the time lived down here in Eagle Rock. I lived in my hometown of Rio Grande. And every time they'd meet up once a year, it was just like we'd leave my Uncle Nick's house with 40 diskettes, some true floppy disks.
That's awesome.
Wow. And each one had 50 games on it.
That's awesome. Those were the days.
You know?
You had to be really creative back then to get an entire game on a little... What is it, like 100 kilobytes?
Yeah.
350 kilobytes?
Yeah. It was
or 3.5 megabytes, that's right.
I wouldn't even think it was that much.
I don't even know if that was that much, but
towards the end.
Towards the end, yeah.
They were like 3.5 megabytes. And you got a whole game on a couple of those discs.
Yeah, like a whole, I remember there were some games we'd get, And like I don't know, it's probably not accurate, but like 10th frame by Epics, which was put out a lot of sports games, and it was a bowling game. It's like you'd get my. We bought that one new. We didn't get a copy of it, and
well, it came in the box. Because you were upper middle class.
Yeah, upper middle class. upper lower middle class. We had like there was like three discs in that package for one game.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You know.
Well, do you remember Wing Commander?
I do.
I got it, and it came in floppies, and it was like 20 of them. In a box. It was like 20 discs.
And, and again,
it took like 3 days to load it up.
The old style floppy discs that were legitimately like 3 by 5 inches and could be used a good fan.
I'd say, do you still have your old Commodore 64?
No, my dad does not. No. I don't know what
I still have my Atari 1040.
I don't even know what that is.
It's the first and only computer that ever came geared for musicians. It had MIDI in and out on board. The actual MIDI in and out connectors.
Mm-hmm. Damn you, now I'm going to have to go get it.
If you know what MIDI is, it's a musical instrument digital interface. It was invented in the early 80s, and it allowed you to have different synthesizers and keyboards and drum machines to talk to each other and to a computer and synchronize, so you could have all this great stuff we have out now.
Cutting-edge technology for a flock of seagulls.
Cutting
and Iran. That's right. And Iran here, the Knapsack Files Radio Network. Commodore 64 was great. So I didn't when all my friends in the mid to late 80s had that Nintendo, I would not. I go to my friend Sean's house to play Bases Loaded or Double Dribble or Mario.
I love those.
Didn't have that system. So it was about 93, 94. I got the Sega Genesis because remember 94 NHL Hockey, one of the best games of all time.
It is. Totally get it on great. Sega CD. It's even better.
Yeah, I did have it on CD. And then my friend Blair Smith went off to the military and gave me his Nintendo 64, which is the very one you see sitting in that box over here in my living room. And that was about 1995. And so I grabbed that and played that, and I've had that ever since.
That literally looks like it's only been opened like once or twice.
I am a bit of, my girlfriend will tell you, well, she'll call me what's the phrase, hoarder. I feel I'm a collector.
Collector.
So that's traveled with me through 20 years of LA.
That's pretty darn good. That looks really, really good.
Now, it hasn't been played since about 2002 or 3. When I lived with my roommates in Canoga Park.
I will say this. It's tough to play anything that's prior to something like a Nintendo 64 because a lot of those were connecting through like an RF cable.
Yes.
And a lot of them only have mono.
I am afraid because I got this brand new TV over here because I myself am lower middle class. But I pulled the 64 off the shelf tonight in my closet and I'm going to try to hook it up.
All right.
We'll see what's going to go.
You and I will be playing that at some point.
Well, at the very
maybe not tonight, but we will be playing.
Very least, we'll go over to your and we'll put it on your channel, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, though. So this is why it's so hard to collect for video games today because of the fact that I was just telling you. A lot of these old consoles aren't compatible with HDMI or digital. Big screen, flat screen TVs. They're the CRVs. You know, you could plug it into the tubes.
There are converters, little
So you have adapters. To go. So that's what I'm saying. It's hard because you have to go buy the adapters. You got to go buy the splitters. You got to go buy the HDMI. You know,
well,
the
if you own AV Apple products, HDMI. You're used to that.
Yeah,
well, that's true.
That's true.
But it does get quite expensive. I've literally spent $15,000 to $20,000 on games.
Wow.
Great googly moogly.
And you're still married.
I know. Although
I know your wife. She's a great lady, but now I have more respect for her.
She's a great lady. Yeah.
Yeah, you have to say that. I think it's in the contract.
No.
As do you, Studio in the Garage Man. It's good. You both are doing well.
It's true.
Well, you know, that's why we stopped shooting everybody or 10 Reasons Why shows because the wife wanted her parking space back.
I mean, it's a good reason. It's a good reason. I don't blame her for one second.
Yeah.
You guys are a lot of fun to talk to, so we're going to do this again. And Scott, definitely want to play some video games with
you here.
I appreciate you coming out here to Burbank, California, the Knapsack Files Studios. But here it's time to plug all the wonderful things you guys have done and are doing. So give it again, guys, where you can find everything, where you can be followed and all that good stuff.
Well, you find Everybody Has a Story on trendpunk.com.
Right.
TRENDPunk.
Com. You can also go find
Designated Drinker
on there as well. Which
if you're an alcoholic, you can listen to that.
You want to listen or to if that. You're not, if you just if you're not,
if you just,
drinker.
If you just want to know everything there is about every minutia of microbrewing, that's the show to listen to.
And of course, I'll pimp my own, The Layman Video Gamer.
Yeah, you can absolutely.
Go to, YouTube, just do a keyword search, The Layman Video Gamer. And then you can find me on Instagram, at Layman Video Gamer. You can find me on Twitter, at Layman Gamer.
Right.
And we do have a link to Layman Video Gamer on trendpunk.com.
Okay. That's true.
Love it.
Yeah, we do.
Love
so
it.
Yeah, and then 10reasonswhyshow.com. We have a website for that if you guys want to go check that out. That's got a lot of cool stuff on there. It's entertainment, tech, and even some supernatural stuff.
Yeah. Supernatural stuff, aliens, a lot of science reports.
And we've got to give a shout out. We're going to do a video soon for 10 Reasons Why Show because of our milestone. We just hit our 10,000 subscribers, love so it. We got to do a video for that.
10,000 duped.
love it.
So yeah, so those are the shows.
So glad I've known you guys both now for a long time, since the heady days of those guys back near the turn of the century. Kids were making web series, web-based television programs.
And that's the other thing, real quick.
Yeah.
Those guys.
Yeah,
we'll have guys. A new episode of those guys. I'll let you know. You can tell your viewers when that comes out.
I love that. I'll throw that up there, too, on some of my stuff there, guys. Appreciate you coming on into the Knapsack Files. Like I said, out there, if you're listening, Knapsack Files is on Facebook. Like us there. We're on Stitcher, Podomatic. I'll figure out Google Play one of these days. I got to get that RSS feed to work on there. It's just impossible. I'm an old, dumb man. I need a young kid to teach me how to do it. But don't forget, we have the Patreon page, patreon.com/TheKnapsackFiles. Very close to reaching my goal of 75 supporters, which leads me to redesign some of the branding and logos here. That's the goal up there. Check out the page if you want. No need to, though. I'll be here for you regardless. So for Scott, Sam, and the guy who farted himself to death. We'll see you next time on the Knapsack Files.
Goodbye.